brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, yes, it's sippin' time, and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
It's true, we are on terrestrial radio. Are we still on radio stations?
About 350 of them in the U.S. and Canada.
I only get email from people listening to the podcast.
Well, the people that are on radio can't afford to...
You listen to us, they can't afford email.
Yeah, it's like you can't afford to pay that monthly fee.
You're listening to us at 1 a.m. on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you're in Moose Neck, Saskatchewan, listening to us on Canada Community Radio. Thank you for listening. So, our sip segments are all about coffee, tea, wine, spirits, beer, pretty much anything you can drink. So, here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. So we have from Philiboa, we have the Philiboa Albarino 2022. We have the Philiboa Selection Finca Monte Alto Albarino 2020. From Baca, we have the Homebase Zinfandel 2019. Walt, we have the Pinot Noir La Brisa Sonoma Coast 2021 and the Walt Pinot Noir Blue Jay Anderson Valley 2021. From Hall, we have the Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2019, and we have the Catherine Hall Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2019. So we're going to ask Justin to...
Against advisement.
Yeah, I was going to say, against my better judgment, we're going to have Justin tell us about our SIPs ratings.
Totally awesome, dude.
Let me apologize now.
All right. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth, dude.
Water. Drink water. Drink water.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have, dude?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Oh, tubular. Very interesting. What was this again?
Is he doing Spicoli or Kenai Reefs?
Interesting.
Spicoli. I think it's both. I think it's like if they, you know, got together and had a child.
Yeah. That would be him.
Yeah. Like, but Keanu from like Bill and Ted, you know, not exactly. Like, not like, you know, like cool, like John Wick Keanu.
Yeah. I've never watched a John Wick movie.
Four sips.
Communist.
I know.
Let's keep this secret to ourselves.
I hear the dog dies.
Pour me another.
That's classified.
Worst part of the movie. Yeah.
Five sips, dude. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
A for effort, sir. A for effort.
My dad is a television repairman. He has the most awesome set of tools. I can fix it. Yeah.
I think we need to do gummies before the show now. So you can get into the mood.
I think we just need to start doing smack. Okay. All right. So let's, since he did such a stellar job, we're going to have Justin tell us all about Philiboa.
Philiboa, meaning the good daughter in the Gallego dialect of northwestern Spain, produces some of the rarest and highest quality wine from Rías Baixas. Bodegas Philiboa is owned by the Massivu family, which traces its winemaking history back to the 14th century. The family reinvented itself in Galician wine production, culminating with the purchase of Bodegas Philiboa in 1988. Bodegas Philiboa estate is focused exclusively on the cultivation of Albarino, and is home to a tasting facility and art collection housed in a 15th century Romanesque castle near River Minho, which forms the border between Spain and northern Portugal.
Doesn't everybody live in a 15th century castle?
Mine's Romanesque. Only 16th century.
So, oh, piker.
Yeah, I know. So first, we're going to talk about the Fiaboa Albarino 2022. It's 100% Albarino, 12.5% alcohol by volume. Fermentation of the wine takes place at low temperatures in stainless steel vats. The wine is then kept on fine lees until bottling. Finally, tartaric stabilization and slight filtering are carried out, offering fresh and expressive wines. The color was a greenish yellow. On the nose, I got fruit, pears, a little bit of mango. It was also got biscuits and grapes. On the palate, it was very crisp. The acidity was well balanced, and the finish was short and pleasant. Maury, what did you think?
It's quite pungent.
Oh, yeah.
I think you hit all the highlights. This is a nice, refreshing afternoon sipper. It's got some nice acidity. It's refreshing. It's a nice hot weather wine. I found it very pleasant, easy sipper, and I like the tropical notes to it very much. So I think you really hit all the highlights to it. Finish was a little short, but other than that, no inherent flaws. Harm?
Yeah, I agree with both of you, but the thing is, I got those different notes at different times. When we first served this wine, it was pretty cold, and it was nice. I did not get any tropical note except for pineapple. I got a lot of apple and a lot of lemon, tons of lemon. And as it came in on the entry, it was very prickly acidity because that's the tartaric acid's there and the cold is there. And it was prickly and good and not super juicy, but highly acidic and interesting and refreshing. I thought it'd be a great seafood wine. Now it's warmed up to almost room temperature here. And now I'm getting mango. Mango is coming out of this glass.
Yeah.
It's tropical, changed significantly as it warmed up.
And also, the acidity is not as prickly. It's got a much smoother entry. So this wine really evolved well. And you can have it over a different range of temperatures and have it with seafood. I think it'd be very enjoyable.
Ceviche. Oh.
Ceviche is fantastic with this.
Yeah. I wish I had a big bowl of ceviche right now.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, how about you tell us about the wine instead? Because you don't have any ceviche, man.
I wish. Yeah, I know. Now, it's a beautiful wine. It's extremely well put together. We were fortunate to go to the Rias Baixas Wine Consortium, had a tasting in Miami a few weeks back and tried quite a few, and this one sort of stood out, this producer. It's all estate produced, so they're growing all of their own grapes, whereas most of Rias Baixas is growing some and buying most. So that made
they're
it a little bit different.
They're all tiny little producers.
Oh, they're tiny. I mean, that's just how it is.
Family farming.
It's not a knock. I mean, it's just how it is.
Yeah. My family has owned this vineyard since the 1300s, and now we've got 57 cousins. They all own a row of grapes, you know?
But it's got a beautiful nose. It's very crisp. The pineapple was definitely much bigger when it was cold. Uh-oh, somebody's blood sugar is going up.
So what happens when you drink a lot of red wine?
But when it was colder, I got the pineapple. I got more the tart apple, and the citrus really stood out, but it's mellowing out nicely as this temperature changes. And it does have a slight, very slight effervescence to it. If you let it sit, you know, you'll see the few bubbles in the bottle, most likely from the lees. But you know, overall, I think a really wonderful little wine. That was why I asked if we could have some for the show. You know, very well put together. So we're going to be rating the Fiaboa Albarino 2022, a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
So let's go to Harm and see what he thinks about our next wine from Fiaboa.
Okay, thank you, Bob. The Fiaboa Selección Finca Monte Alto Albarino 2020 is 100% Albarino, 13% ABV. The wine is crafted with grapes from the Monte Alto single vineyard. The plot lies 500 feet above the sea level and is on 16.5 acres of land. The vineyard is 28 years old, and the vines grow on a trellising structure. Almost everything in Albarino is on trellis. The soil has a sandy loam texture with a lot of pebbles, and due to the proximity to the Mino River, the fermentation is accomplished at controlled temperatures between 57 and 60 degrees. Selected native yeasts are used, and the wine is left on the lees for at least 12 months in stainless steel vats. And the wine is then cold stabilized and filtered through diatomaceous earth and bottled.
How's the wine?
That means, children, since it's filtered through diatomaceous earth, it's vegan friendly. There you go. And you'll notice the difference here. There's no tartaric acid addition here. We just have the lees, so we're going to should be having a different structure completely. This is a straw yellow in color. It's gorgeous on the nose. Really aromatic with honeydew. Not honeydew. What's that? Oh, God. How am I drawing a blank on this? It's ripe fruit, apple.
Cantaloupe?
The flower. I'm thinking. What's that?
Honeysuckle?
Honeysuckle. That was it. I'm trying to draw a blank on honeysuckle. Yeah, it's honeysuckle. Honeysuckle, and there's a lot of bakery notes. I get a little bit of, when it was colder, it was like toasted bread.
Biscuits.
Southern
biscuits.
And it's changed a little bit now that it's warmer. And this one was very soft on the entry. Let's try again. Soft, not as highly acidic. Really good acidity, but it's balanced with that structure from the lees. I like this even better than the first one. It's gorgeous and complex, and it's got more roundness to it. Bob?
Well, this was the one that really stood out when we were at that tasting to me. You know, this is their top dog, so to speak. But yeah, it's changed significantly as it's warmed up.
You could enjoy this cold or you could enjoy this warm. Either way, this is...
Yeah, either way, when it was colder, it was absolutely delicious. It's just as it warms up, you know, it's changing. So you're getting different flavors that are coming out. And we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we are still discussing this lovely Filibovo Selección Fino Monte Aldo Barino. Finca Monte Alto Albarino. Sorry.
C.
So, but really, just a really well. I mean, I enjoy Albarinos. I enjoy Rias Baixas, but this one just really stood out to me. It's got a lot of structure.
I've had Albarino from other places than Rias Baixas, but nothing approaches the quality you get from Rias Baixas.
Yeah.
They've really nailed it.
Yeah. It's got such a good structure to it. The acidity is right where it needs to be. Yeah, and you're right about one thing. It was definitely like a bakery when it was colder.
Right.
That's blown out, and now the tropical fruit is coming forward. So, yeah, I could drink this one all day. What do you think, Justin?
I really enjoyed this one. It's like crisp and refreshing, and you won't get wined out. Like, if you drank a whole bottle of this, you wouldn't be like, oh, I'm sick of wine for the day. You just want to keep drinking.
Yeah, that's the good thing. Good wine, it's every sip is refreshing and different.
Yeah,
and evolves. Wine that's a little too sweet or too cloying, after one glass, you're done. But this, I could drink the whole bottle by myself.
Well, it's like each sip is a complete act.
Yeah,
instead of just one long pour.
All right, all right. Just say the right thing. Say the thing I want you to say.
Maury, what do you have to add? You got anything?
You know, I don't have a lot to add. I agree. I really like the beginning where it was really like bakery and brioche and a lot of yeast. And I enjoyed that. And now I'm enjoying, it's like having a whole other glass of wine. Yeah. I'm enjoying this bright, acidic afternoon delight that is more evolved to be like the first wine in that it's bright and acidic.
You know what? I could use the lobster roll. Forget about the ceviche. Give me the lobster roll on this. Let's do that.
Yeah, that would be okay. Good. I'm still digging the ceviche though. But
you've got all that acid in the ceviche already. I want the contrast of that buttery lobster roll with this acid here.
I think you're right,
Harm. Open this in the morning, do the ceviche, have a walk.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Then finish the bottle with a lobster roll for lunch.
There you go. Perfect.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to be rating the Filiboa Selección Finamonte Alto Albariño 2020, a well-deserved forceps.
Yes, sir.
That's classified.
Delicious. Wow. Absolutely delicious.
That's a hard act to follow.
Well, you got no choice. You've got to follow it, so.
The moment the world has waited for.
Maury.
Why, thank you. Bobby Joe.
If you were waiting for the opportune moment, that was it.
Baca is Latin for berry and was started by the folks from Hall Vineyards as a project to make luxury craft Zinfandels. Sourcing grapes from some of California's most noted growing regions, Calistoga, Russian River, Rock Pile, Howell Mountain, and Paso Robles, headed by vintner Jennifer Brown, the result is 8 complex, charismatic Zinfandels, along with a few other delectable curveballs. The first wine is the Baca Home Base Zinfandel 2019, clocking in at 15.2% ABV, Dry Creek Valley, Sonoma County. Home Base starts with fruit farmed by the pioneering Moritzen family. This Zinfandel was made from 2 vineyards on the eastern side of Dry Creek Valley with vine ages ranging from 40 to 70 years old. One of the oldest vine regions in California, Dry Creek Valley has been renowned for its Zinfandel since the 1880s. Distinctive from most other growing regions in Sonoma Valley, or Sonoma County rather, the valley warms earlier in the day and reaches higher average temperatures, yet still drops dramatically in temperature at night.
So they make 8 Zins, but we're only tasting one today? This is a shame, my friends. We need all of them. We need all of them and the curveballs.
Yes, this is true. It's got a beautiful, deep, dark garnet color. On the nose, relatively nondescript. I don't really get a lot off the nose on this wine.
Which changed.
But the palate's got plum and blackberry, some toasted fennel and spice. It's mouth coating. It's full-bodied. The finish is medium. It's a really nicely crafted wine. I thought it was full-bodied, fills the mouth, fills the senses. I thought it was very well made. I've really not had anything bad from the Hall family of wines, and this is no exception. This is a beautifully crafted Zinfandel for the money. I don't think you can go wrong. It drinks well. It's very enjoyable. It's very pleasant. Ticks all the boxes. What'd you think, Justin?
Sorry, you caught me with a mouthful of wine.
I'm sorry.
On the nose, I got some sea salt, a little bit of salmon. On the palate, plum, blackberries, and this faded off. But when I first had it, I detected like crushed Pez. But then after it aired out, that disappeared.
Stop crushing and snorting the Pez.
You crush Pez, you heathen? What the hell's wrong with you?
He's snorting them. He's snorting the Pez.
Well, you know, when they're in the bottom of your backpack and they're crushing it, you throw
them out. I blame this on you. He gets this from your family. That's not from mine. I'm sorry.
From Miami.
Good Lord.
It could be from the Alabamans.
It's not you. It's me. No, actually, it's not me. It is you. Mm-hmm.
So I kind of agree with that salmon note of yours, which is strange. It's actually more like an umami thing going on. I wouldn't have called it salmon.
I would never have called it salmon.
It's like smoke. Like he's saying smoke. It's like
smoked salmon from Costco.
To me, it's blueberries. It's blueberry, the blueberry spice, the leaves, and the stems, and a little bit of oak. And then there's this umami thing going on, which I guess you can call salmon. I don't know.
If you told me my glass of wine tasted like salmon, I would not only not run right out and buy it, I would run the other way.
You know, it's when tasty. You, once you've been eating salmon and you put your lips on the glass smells like salmon. There you go.
But I haven't had any salmon today.
Well, except for your bagel and lox this morning. You should have brushed your teeth afterwards before you came over.
Spaghetti and meat sauce today.
Anyway, I don't... There's an umami taste there. It's not salmon, though. And on the palate, I got plum and blackberry and blueberry. Lots of blueberry. And you said fennel spice?
There's a little hint. Toasted fennel.
All right. I'll give you that, too. And it's got good body.
Yeah, really nice backbone.
Yeah, it's a very pretty wine. It's, I'm the first one that said I'm getting that weird. We were trying to figure it out, that umami in there, and I don't think it's that. I think it's more, you know, the ramen packet, that soy protein, you know, that you put in the ramen packet. That's what I'm getting. It's like an earthiness and like an umami.
It's sort not, of blended. It's not in. Mushroomy like you get like forest floor. Would you get?
With No, it's some, not. Yeah, it isn't that it's far. Different. It's like up it's to different. That, but not that far. The blueberry is definitely on the nose, and the blackberry is on the back palate, and the blueberry is on the front palate. But a beautiful little wine. I mean, I really enjoyed this one, and it's not an expensive wine. We don't really go over prices on the show because they vary so much from place to place, but not an expensive wine and drinks well above its price point, I think. So we're going to be giving the Baca Home Base Zinfandel 2019 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that brings us to our next wines. And our next wines are from Walt. And Walt is named in honor of Catherine Walt's parents, Catherine Walt Hall's parents, Bob and Dolores Walt, two dedicated wine growers who love the land and each other. Their family produced 6 different varietals for several great wineries for many years. Catherine took over to managing the vineyard operations in 82 and then until 92. And today they have a dedicated winemaking team, state-of-the-art winemaking facility, and a passionate staff and strong relationships with extraordinary vineyard partners. So the first wine we're going to be doing from Walt is the Walt Pinot Noir, La Brisa, Sonoma Coast 2021. It's 14.5% ABV, Sonoma Coast, Sonoma County, 100% Pinot Noir. It's barrel aged for 10 months and 30% new French oak. And the grapes for this wine come mainly from their Bob's Ranch.
Yeah, we got Bob and
I got a ranch. Yeah. From Bob's Ranch Estate with Gap's Crown and Calisa Vineyards completing the blend, which features both Dijon and Heritage clones. So it's got a very nice color to it. Got a deep garnet.
It's slightly translucent.
It's got a nice color on the edge. It's just filled with red fruit on the nose. There's a little bit of an earthy note to it. I'm not quite more earthy than umami like the last one we were doing. And on the palate, dark cherries, raspberries, the barrel notes. I'm getting the barrel notes on this. I'm getting a little bit of the oak on the back. Big berry notes on this. Very fruit forward. Very fresh tasting. Very bright. A beautiful Pinot. What'd you think, Arm?
I agree with you, Bob. But one thing you left out that I got that was very prominent right at first and still is now is rose petals. I get rose petals on the nose. Rose petals and raspberries and plum. There's a mineral note in there I can't quite identify. And some cloves. And that's just on the nose. And it's just, I could keep coming back to this and smell this wine all night.
I get the floral, but I don't get the clove.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Harm. I think the rose petals are definitely there, but not so much the clove.
It's just at the very end for me. And then on the palate, it's that, like Bob was saying, the lush, all that red fruit. The raspberry follows through. The floral notes follow through. The cherry follows through. There's, I guess that is the barrel note, that little bit of vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of oak coming out. And then it's got a good finish too. It's just a really pleasant wine, and it's one of those I could just sit and smell all night.
Yeah, just that slight little bit, that backbone of vanilla, that backbone of oak. Just enough, not too much. I think if they would have went with a lot more new oak, it would have probably overpowered it, but really well put together. What'd you think, Justin?
So when we first opened this wine, it was very fruity, and then it shifted for me on the nose to floral. On the palate, it's remained very fruity, but it just became more earthy as I enjoyed it over the session today.
This is a red wine. I think we could serve a little bit cooler than it is right now. The room temp is a little too warm for this.
Are you saying it's too warm in the basement?
I think your basement's too warm, man. It's Florida. It's Florida in November. It's too hot outside. It's December now, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, December.
It's December, jeez. Yeah. It's too hot outside.
Well, at least now he's got the smoker pipe going out of the basement. So, you know,
who knew? Good. Yeah. Who knew? I mean, what do you want from me?
We got a rating, sir.
Wow. What'd you think, Maury?
I agree with everything that's been said. I think it's developed a nice earthiness. It did start much more fruit forward. It's now become more earthy and rounded and lush and full body. I think it's a beautiful wine. I've really enjoyed it quite a lot. An easy all day sipper.
I just wish I had a case of it, that's all. Yeah, absolutely beautiful. And this is actually my first time trying Walt. I haven't had Walt before, so I'm very familiar with Hall Estate. But Walt's a new one to me. So next time we go out to California, we're definitely going to have to swing by the tasting room and try all the others that they have.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and now that I know where it's at, yeah, I'm going. So.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be rating the Walt Pinot Noir La Brisa Sonoma Coast 2021, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So we're going to go to Justin, have him tell us about our next wine.
We're going to talk about Walt Pinot Noir Blue Jay Anderson Valley 2021. It's 14.4% alcohol by volume. It's made in the Anderson Valley. It's 100% Pinot Noir. Barrel aged 14 months in 35% new French oak barrels. The grape for this expression are sourced from a unique set of vineyards from the corner of Anderson Valley, located in the hills east of Boonville. Both of their estate properties have steep hillsides, aspect and light gravelly soils that combine to create optimal ripening conditions. The color was a deep garnet. On the nose, I got fresh linen, lemon, little bit of Fabuloso on the palate.
Fabuloso.
You know, really? Fabuloso.
Yes, I know Fabuloso. Really?
Okay. Yeah. It's that lemony that only Fabuloso will bring you.
Yeah, Fabuloso, the fantastic of Latin America.
Right. You got it. Okay. Yeah.
The 409.
Yes. Vivid aromas on the palate. Black cherry, plum, cloves. There was a really nice, refreshing dry note to it. Despite the really odd notes, I absolutely love this. What did you think, Maury?
Wow, that's a hard act to follow.
You think?
I'm speechless. You know, I was thinking Mr. Clean over Fabuloso, but now I'm really
too firm. Too firm.
Wow. You know, this was a delicious wine.
Justin knows
wine.
How firm Mr. Clean is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought this wine
you don't know where he's been, man.
A little different style from the previous one, a little more backbone, a little more tannin, a little more age-worthy, but I liked it. It was mouth-filling. It had structure. It had a lot of things that you said. I had a hint of plum and black cherry. A little hint of earthiness, had a little bit of a longer finish, Definitely had some more tannins in there. I liked it. I thought it was a delicious wine, and definitely a step up for my palate from the previous one.
Just a completely different wine.
Yeah,
completely different style. I don't think
it's a step up at all. It's just a different style.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I mean, they're just different wines completely, which is funny.
It's still Pinot Noir. Anderson Valley is a different area. You've got then Sonoma. And you've got this gorgeous heavy fruit that's not, you're not getting the same fruit as you get in Sonoma. So
I can't wait to go to the valley and just smell the valley.
Mm-hmm.
See how it turns into this wine.
Yeah, this one, people ask us all the time because we do the show, you know, what's your favorite wine? What's your favorite whiskey? You know, what's your favorite beer?
Also, there's 4 months extra aging on this one. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was telling him, well, my palate changes from day to day. What I like today, I want something different tomorrow. What I wanted this morning, I don't want tonight. You know, and these are two excellent wines. They're just completely different, you know, completely different styles, but both very good. And right now, honestly, this one is the one that's speaking to me because it's got a little bit more of the structure. It's got a little bit more of the tannin. It's got a little bit more of the backbone. And that's just sort of the mood I'm in now. But this is a beautiful wine. I mean, it's got... It's got all that black cherry on the nose. And I get a little bit of the red fruit, a little bit of the plumminess. It's not as fruit forward.
No mistaline?
No. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's not as fruit forward as the other one. The other one was
It's Mr. Lean, Mr.
Salad.
Clean on Ozempic.
It's Mr. Lean. It's a knockoff Fabuloso.
Yeah.
Oh.
Imagine that there's a knockoff Fabuloso. Yeah.
That's probably what is used in my house, but
the dollar store.
You got to go check out the cleaning lady's cabinet.
Yeah, I swear this is. We let him in the basement. I don't know why. Sometimes I just shake my head.
I don't go, get yeah. these.
I'm
odd
amazed
notes
I'm
that you
still
get
here.
I don't
I'm
get
thrilled
these odd
to be
notes
here.
You get.
We keep you here to clean. Yeah, we'll be back. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Hey, and we're back, and we were just wrapping up our thoughts on the Hall Pinot Noir Blue Jay Anderson Ranch 2021. Again, just a beautiful wine, completely different style, but same grape, you know, just different location, different vintning, different style, different weather, different soil. But yeah, this one's really speaking to me today. What'd you think, Arm?
I stopped talking. I'm just enjoying the wine, dude. Leaning, just lying back and enjoying the wine.
It's radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a verbal medium. I'm just saying, you know, it's sound driven, not, you know,
I gave my review. It's fine. It's just give it a rating, dude. It's good. I still like the first one better. You guys outvoted me, but you guys are feeling that tannin today.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that floral note.
He's definitely in touch with his feminine side. We're gonna be rating.
What happens when your wife is nice to you? You get in touch with that feminine side. Yeah,
that's what she said.
Once a year.
Yeah,
once a year.
And guess what? This ain't that time of year. So, the Walt Pinot
Christmas
Noir
is coming.
We can all fantasize.
The Walt Pinot Noir Blue Jay Anderson Valley 2021. We're going to give a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that leads us up to our next one. We're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bob.
You're welcome, Maury.
Since first working in her family's Mendocino vineyards, Catherine Hall dreamed of a place to showcase fine wines alongside expressive art and masterful architecture. The Halls acquired the historic St. Helena Bergfield Winery in 2003 and reopened as Hall St. Helena. With rich history spanning 150 years, Hall St. Helena's location was once the home of Napa Valley's co-op, producing 40% of Napa Valley's wines. In 2013, the Hall family completed the restoration of the 1885 Bergfield Winery and merged history and innovation with the completion of California's first LEED Gold certified gravity flow winemaking facility. Hall Rutherford was purchased in 1995 in the hills of Rutherford, and a state-of-the-art winery was opened on the property in 2005 that is dedicated to making single vineyard and limited production wines. Hall's estate vineyards encompass more than 500 acres of classic Bordeaux varietals, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Sauvignon Blanc. Hall Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2019, coming in at 15.1% ABV Napa Valley, is 92% Cabernet Sauvignon and 5% Merlot, 3% Petit Verdot. It is barrel-aged and 50% new oak. The grapes for this expression come from Hall's organic estate vineyards and from small rugged hillside sites of their partner growers. This wine has a deep, dark ruby color. On the nose, typical Cabernet, dark fruit, black fruit, cassis. On the palate, dark cocoa, red berry, dried herbs, lush dark fruit, hints of spice and leather. There's some soft tannins that are well integrated and a nice balanced, lengthy finish. It's got a beautiful mouthfeel. It's coating. It's viscous. It's very nice. Goes down easy. Very well made. I've had this wine many times before, and I must admit, although this is not my favorite expression of the Hall Cabernet, it's always extremely well made, it's always very well priced, and a very good value, an excellent wine for the money, always drinks well, always widely available, and never disappoints. Harm, what do you think?
I disagree with you on some of this. I got more plum and cedar than cassis, but then after it sat in the glass, the cassis came up, just freaked me out because it wasn't there earlier. Toasted herbs, toasted oak and dried herbs were what really got on the nose. I didn't get any of that cocoa on the nose at all. It's lush and it's fruit forward and it's a California cab. What do you want to say?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I say.
It's just not what I've been drinking lately because it's so... It's this style to me is one of those that you can come back to, but I can't like finish a whole bottle of this. You know, this one is not super cloying like some wines that have higher residual sugar, because this doesn't have a lot of residual sugar, but it does have enough that I feel like I have to eat with this. I really need a steak with this wine. I can't just drink it by itself.
Well, I agree. A big cab definitely goes with red meat and a big meal.
Well, that's true, but there's other good cabs with higher acidity that I could approach, like French reds. I could drink them without the meal, right? A little more live. Fair enough. This is just a little heavy for me. I mean, I'm feeling light and feminine today.
Well, but then again, you're always light in your loafer, so that's nothing new.
So, I mean, it's got a good, soft, long finish, but there's not enough grip for me either.
I agree. This particular bottle is not the best expression I've seen of the
Hall. This is not the best Hall I've had. I've had better Halls in the past.
Agreed. It's typically a very good wine. I think for the money, it's typically a very good wine. This is not the best expression of it I've ever seen.
Maybe we're drinking too young, too. It's only 19.
True.
Justin, what do you think about this wine?
I would definitely love to enjoy this with some age on the nose. I got plum, cedar, French oak. some dried herbs, and definitely got the like tonkatsu ramen base after you had the bowl, that smell at the end on the palate.
You sit around smelling your bowl of ramen after you finished?
Yeah, because I want more, but I won't order another one. So, yes.
That's a lie. I've seen him order another one.
Before or after the bourbon slushy?
I've seen. We went one time, and he just started throwing hundreds at the girl and said, just keep bringing it to me until I wave you off. So, you know.
Well, I did drink some really high-proof Jack Daniel's rye, so anything that happened after that, I just have to rely on Bob. On the palate, I got dark cocoa, rich berries.
Not those filthy middle-class berries.
No.
Rich berries.
I got, you know, the taste.
Not crunch berries?
No, not on this one. But, you know, we have other ones to talk about today. Frankenberries.
Booberries. Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of, what's that? The Dracula Cocoa Puff?
Count Chocula?
Count Chocula.
Yes,
but not as sweet. We're getting some tunes here. It's a party in the basement. This is how we do it.
Yeah. Idiot with a phone on. Yeah. This is what happens. It's literally sitting between his legs. And he's going, what's that?
His thing is singing soul.
Yeah.
And R&B.
Lord.
That's talent.
Yeah.
It's talent. All right.
Bob, you think surrounded by mental patience. I swear
to
God.
Bob, settle it. What do you think?
I think this is a lovely wine. It's got a beautiful color to it. If anything, I agree, we're opening it a little bit too young, but this is what we have. It can't be avoided.
My problem is, you know, Maury talked about the well-integrated tens. I don't think that they're well-integrated. I just don't think they're there. They're hard to detect. It needs more tannin.
The same guy who doesn't even know his phone's between his legs. So
does it need more cowbell?
Yeah.
He doesn't know what's between his legs.
Nobody does.
I can't feel it anymore. The wife was good to me.
It's got... Diabetes. The cocoa is there. This also has a little bit of an umami.
Yeah.
For me. The berries are there. There's that umami, herbally, not quite mushroomy, but that backbone of it. And on the palate, yeah, very pretty. Very, very pretty. The berries up front, a little bit of leather, you know, very fruit forward. It's not a tannin bomb. It absolutely isn't. This isn't, you know, the blow your head off kind of Cabernet.
I don't need a tannin bomb. This is just too soft and fruity for me. And you guys are talking about the feminine side. This is a feminine Cabernet.
Yes, absolutely.
But not typical of their style. It's typically got a little more tannin. This year's...
Yeah, well, yeah, year to year is different. I mean, it's always that same thing. Wow, you know, gee, I wish I had this. But would I kick that one out of bed? Absolutely not. It's a beautiful wine. I wish I had a case of it. Would happily drink it. So... We're going to be rating the Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon from Hall 2019. A well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
And that brings us to our last wine.
Well, thanks, Bob.
Harm.
I'll do that for you.
Really?
The Catherine Hall Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2019 is 15.2% ABV. It's from Napa Valley, as we said earlier. 95% Cabernet Sauvignon, 4% Merlot, 1% Cab Franc. This is barrel-aged for 25 months in 75% new oak, using grapes from both their legendary Sacrarche. How do you say that vineyard? Scarche? Sacrarche? What is that? How do you say that?
I'm not saying a word. I'm just going to listen to him struggle.
Yeah.
Sakarche Vineyard. Sakrash. I like Sakrash. As the base.
It's what you get after a time out in the Subic Bay. Yeah.
And the Catherine Hall Cabernet Sauvignon is the pinnacle of the Hall's blending efforts of each year. So anyway.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
25 months and 75% new oak. This is what I was looking for.
This is
the wine I was looking
for. This is it.
This wine is also over $200 a bottle, so maybe I'm spoiled. The color is a beautiful, intense, opaque garnet. The nose is all ripe black fruit.
I'm going to tell you what a certain master distiller once said to Brent.
What's that?
Get a better job.
Yeah, there you go. You can't afford it? Get a better job. All right.
This is a delicious wine. I must admit, the price has crept up over the years, but when it first came out, it was a major step up.
I mean, the price has kept up on everything. This is also
after the fires in Napa Valley. Yeah. Everything just took a huge hit. Right,
but when this first came out, it was priced.
Overall, the prices in Napa on everything have gone up, but I mean, compared to what it costs for a pound of hamburger, for crying out loud, it's not gone up that much.
This wine has always been a really nice step up. The Hall Cab has been a great wine for the money, and this wine has always been a big step up.
Yeah, it is never disappointed.
Up in price, the price differential has increased dramatically.
Okay, so when I say it's over $200 a bottle, I'm saying that's retail in the liquor store or wine shop. You go to a restaurant, this is a $400 to $500 bottle. At your local Roots Chris or your Capital Grill.
No, this is not something the average person's going to be able to... Yeah. Purchase in a restaurant.
So, there's a reason I like this wine. I'm just saying. This is all about ripe black fruit, herbs, and chocolate and licorice on the nose. And so beautiful. Earthy, dark, chocolatey, blackberries, graphite. That you know the tannins are there. You get that beautiful grip. It starts out lush. And then it gives you that good grip that you know you're drinking something with age worthy. And the finish is with tobacco and fruit, and it's long. And I could drink this all day. This one I could approach and keep drinking all day. What do you think, Justin?
I need a better job. I could drink this all day. I think that the colors, like dark purple, the nose is... just really well balanced. It's like all the best fruits. It's like a well organized nose on the palate. I got like dark chocolate, dark spice, really nice tannins. This was like a all mid palate experience for me.
Really? It's front, mid, and finish for me at the end.
This is everything I love about California Cab in a glass. It just sort of sums it up. This is why you spend a lot of money on a high-end cab, because it just delivers. And this one does not disappoint. It just delivers for the money.
Yeah, this one begs for a medium rare ribeye.
This Californian wine.
I also beg for a medium rare ribeye.
You beg for a lot of things, but she usually says no.
I know. I know she does. She says no a lot. That's what happens when you're married that long.
Is that it?
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah. You're a single man, Justin. Stay that way. Keep them on their toes.
This is a beautiful wine. I mean, it's just absolutely stunning. And again, it's another one. It's just like the one before. I'm like, we should be opening this in at least 3 years from now.
Yeah, of course. We're doing an injustice drinking this year, but we did aerate it.
But here's the thing, as you know, as early as we've opened it, it's stunning. I mean, this thing is really just, I mean, I've never had a Catherine Hall that wasn't great. I mean, the worst year I've ever had was still fantastic, but this one's really.
Yeah, they've got
well
15 plus years to go, but still be in the drinking window, so you're fine.
Yeah, it's just the color's beautiful, the palate's beautiful, it coats your mouth, the finish goes on.
It's hard to say no to this one young, too, because even though it's on the young side, it still delivers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when it comes down to it, I mean, Hall does not make bad wine, you know, period, on any of their labels, so.
Got a review, sir? A rating?
Well, we're going to be rating the Catherine Hall Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2019, a well-deserved Five sips.
My goodness. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you guys kept talking, but...
This Californian wine's... Oh. So good.
You talked over Hans Gruber, you bastards. Well, that's all the time we have for today, you know, at this point.
That's Severus Snape, my friend.
Yeah. It's Hans Gruber.
He's Snape. Well, Christmas is coming, so...
December, he's Hans Gruber.
Yeah, right. Your Christmas is coming, Die Hard,
it's
baby.
It's not Christmas until he falls from the Nakatomi Tower.
That's right. Exactly.
And if you say anything else, sir, you can get out of my home. Get... Evacuate my basement.
We need to have a Christmas watch party for that.
Oh, Lord.
That comes after the bean burrito.
They actually make a little Nakatomi Tower with a little Hans Gruber, and it moves down. It's like an advent calendar.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a one-tan hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.